Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
And so the Holy Spirit told him, he said, you are far. That is why you are here. If you had these things so easy like these people were having, you probably would not be behaving like this. And those words are always alive in my heart anytime I think about them. I also gave an illustration one time. There was a dear man of God I'm very close with. And at the initial point when we're getting to know ourselves, he gave me an appointment. I was so excited. I went to see him some times back. And I found out how he was so free and lovely and so simple with me. And I was so excited. The next time he invited me, it was 10 that we're supposed to have the appointment, 10 a.m. And I found out that by 9:50, I was still at home, telling myself, I'll catch up. And the Holy Spirit asked me a question. He said, is this how low you see the man that helped you to meet? And I thought to myself, I said, this familiarity, anybody can fall a victim of it. And I took my car, I owned the car, and I said, Lord, save my soul. Anytime I say, Lord, save my soul, I want to fly. So I began to fly. Ooh, I think that car would have jumped and hit on the ground. So at some point, you know. Of course, you see people insulting you with their own. Boom, boom, boom. Meaning you are mad, you are mad, you are mad. And I tried to make sure that before 12, I was in the office sweating. I was like, why are you sweating? My sister was almost late. He was not surprised. He said, you would have taken your time. In fact, I had some people in my office. You know, they are just leaving as you can see. So you are not late. But only me and the Holy Spirit know what we discuss. Have you get what I'm trying to say? He may think I'm not late, but you see, maybe he had not had a lot of bad experiences. And sometimes they probably have, but they are just trying to be free. You see, when somebody knows you are stupid, he still talks to you very nice. He doesn't tell you are stupid. He just behaves so nice, and you fear most people like that, because they've deleted you like a file, but they are just playing along. You are the least of their priority. I tell you the truth. So, I remember before the end of the meeting, he had to pray for me specially, some sort of. And I can tell it because he can tell of how much I honor him. Are we together? I'm saying this because I'd seen people once in a while always come back after they made some of their greatest mistakes. I will say greatest mistake because I don't wish that they make any mistake apart from this. A lot of times before they make these mistakes, you correct them. You talk to them in love. You do all you can do as a pastor, some as friends, you know, some as siblings. You try to talk to them, talk them into wisdom. And most times they wouldn't listen. Not because you are not what a person that wisdom can flow through, not because other people would not listen to you or see you so highly, but because they are familiar with you. Are we together? They have certain access that other people don't have. Now this access that's supposed to be a blessing is now even being a curse. Just like the Bible says about the law in Romans 7. He said that which is supposed to be a blessing is now being a source of destruction. Hallelujah, Jesus. And before you know it, they get to that point that you can't talk to them again. You see? Because the familiarity has made them to come to that point that they are so loose and beyond control. They don't listen anymore. Because they are so familiar. At that point now, you can't talk to them. You Because one of the ministry of a pastor entails that he instructs. So you cannot instruct. Because if you cannot instruct, you cannot even fulfill the first three ministries. They are intertwined together. The Bible speaks about doctrine. It goes further to what? Rebuke. Is it rebuke? No, I don't think that's the word it used. Reproof. Then the next one is what? Correction. Then it says instructions and righteousness to the man of God. So they are intertwined together. The one I cannot instruct, I cannot correct. The one I cannot correct, I cannot reprove. The one I cannot reprove, I can't teach sound doctrine. You see that? So I'm not really your teacher till I can instruct you. What kind of student would not listen to his teacher in school when instructed to do an assignment or a classwork? Do we have any kind of student like that here? You have to do the assignment. You have to do the classwork, the group work, the project, because they think as teachers that that will add to your understanding. Are we together? Are you listening? So I'm just led to say this because this couple of days and months and weeks, I've had people come, and I'm not trying to shame them in case they are watching, just to teach people that when you are being corrected, when you are being reproved, when you are being instructed, it is to the glory of God. Listen, I have zero interest for glory. You may not believe me because it looks like probably what we are doing here is decorum. But I have zero interest for any glory of any person here. I tell you the truth, I don't take any credit for myself. The best of my headache, it is human beings that have caused it. Human beings, people I pastor, the best of my headache, if I've had the craziest headache in my life, it is human beings. If I was just Prophet Simon, if I was just Simon, I don't think I'll have any headache because I'm a very happy man. I have learned to be happy all my life. There's nothing that makes me happy. I just become happy for being happy's sake. I am happy every time. And that's why when I see you behaving like a sadist, I always tell you to be happy. And some people behave like sadists. They are just sad. They even anticipate problem and they get sad for the problem, before the problem arrives. You know, today somebody came, I wanted to sell off my car because I was thinking of trying to do something and get probably another one. And someone came to check the car. And the person left for over an hour without coming back to test the car. So I called the person that led the person to me. I said, I trusted you. That is why I allowed the person to test this car. Where's the person? Guess what? We tried the person's number. It's not going through. My wife tried the number. It's not going through. I feel some peace, but logic still told me something is wrong somewhere. Because why would my number not go? We just spoke a few minutes ago and it took the car. And now my number is not going. My wife's number is not going. Something ought to be wrong. So I carried my wife's car and I drove around. And I said, what am I doing? Even if this guy is a thief, he has gone. Isn't it? There is no way we can see that guy and I'll say, God, what if I have been duped? I said, God, what if I've been duped? No, it's very possible. Because you see, at that point, I was not wise. I shouldn't have allowed him to drive the car alone. You know, people have carried people's car like that just to test drive, and they are in another state. And I have no tracker in my car. I have nothing. And I said, Lord, I acted foolishly. If you have mercy on me, I will not do it again. But if not, no problem. I've lost the car. And I started laughing and coming back home. and begged me. In my heart, I truly imagined losing the car. And I asked myself, I'll still come, will I come and preach this evening if I lose my car? And I imagined, and I said, yes, what's there? I'll still come and preach. In fact, I'll joke that I lost my car. And I'll continue preaching. And I found out that I am a strong person. Because we didn't know whether the guy would come back at that point or not. So I came back home. I said, let God's will be done. I entered my room and I continued what I was doing. And we heard, hope, hope. I said, thank you, Lord. I will never. You know what I told my wife? I said, let that guy come and park the car and get out from this house. We are not even selling it again. He should park the car. I will call a price that will make him offended. In fact, that's what happened. When he just brought the car, I said, see, this is the price. He said, sir, whatever. He was so close to the price. I said, nothing in this world is going to make me. He said, I used to see your billboard. I said, thank you. You'll see some more very soon. Because he saw my picture. I said, I see this picture everywhere in town. I said, you're going to see many this time again because we'll soon do a program. He said, okay, sir, so what is the last price? I said, that was what I said. He said, sir, the car is very powerful. It's so fine. You maintained it. I said, yeah. He said, so what will you do, man of God? I said, man of God, that's the last price. He said, sir, if you change your mind, you can call me. Some hundreds of thousands should not stop the business. He said, my number ends with 11. I said, I've deleted the number. I mean it. He left. I now called the lady with us. I said, go and lock the gate. They were so shocked. They had not gone outside. I said, lock the gate. You know, I was so sure they'll call me again. And I'll tell them I'm not actually selling. Because they made me scared. Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, I couldn't believe that I did that foolishness. And you know what they did? They left one bike, one lady's bike. You know what we call that bike? In Kaduna, we call the bike Wayo Kudina. You know what it means? Oh God, my money, oh. Other people call it rubber. So when I called the guy that knows them, he said, but Pastor, they left a bike in your car, in your house. I said, what will I use that bike to do? He started laughing. He himself. He said, actually, what will we use that bike to do? That bike is over $300,000. I mean, these people have gone with over 7 to 8 million. You are telling me they left a bike in my house. Not even Jincheng. It's Weyo Kudina. And you know the funniest thing? When I checked the bike, there was no plate number. So, no way to trace them. So I started calculating. Satan was so fast. He said, they probably didn't put the plate number because they know what they want to do. I started calculating. Then the picture of all the people that have lost their car this way started coming to my head. I said, now it's my turn. Guess what question came to my head? Satan, very foolish. He said, what will you tell people as a prophet? How did you not know that we are going to steal your car? How do you tell people that they stole a prophet car? The prophet didn't know that it's about to meet you. Then I'll call somebody and say, I see. Then somebody will say, you know, even seeing car where they were stealing. You know, human beings can be crazy. And it's not because you want to think like that. It's Satan that will inspire you to see it that way. It's called the accuser of the brethren. When you see the slightest opportunity to accuse your pastor, he will. Because he knows that this is how you get fortified. So as long as your pastor will not be seen the right way, he's in that business. Anything that will make sure the person who feeds your faith looks bad, Satan is number one. That's his business. You know, when people say anything that will give me money, count me. That's Satan's decree. And so that is why, boldly speaking, the person who feeds your faith, hold the person in esteem. Not because the person wants any glory, but it is for your good. You know, the Bible said in Hebrews 13, right? Verse 6, if I'm not mistaken. Verse 5, verse 7. 7. He said, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose feet follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Why should you follow their faith? Because of what? The outcome of their conduct. This is something I can teach for hours with. I'm just saying something here. Now give me verse 8. Is this what I'm looking for? 11. 17. 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. Do you believe we watch out for your souls? You believe that? Can we see it in the TPT's rendition? It says, obey your spiritual leaders and recognize their authority, for they keep watch over your soul without resting, since they will give an account to God for their work. He said, obey your spiritual leaders. He said, recognize their authority. Not because they want it. I don't have the power to tell you not to respect me as your pastor. It's not in my place to tell you that. You know, some of us, the way we were before God encountered us, we were truly shy people who felt like we don't really deserve anybody's honor. You know, while I was growing up, I had problem with people who greeted me with sir. I had problem with them. At a point, I had problem with people who called me papa. Till I came to a point where the papa was coming from left, right, and center. Then I didn't know what to do. I had a problem with people who greet me and bow their head. I used to have that problem, but I couldn't change it with time. I couldn't change it. I couldn't do anything about it. I found that it was just flowing. When I see people's father and grandfather bowing to greet me, I get amazed. You know, I try to stop it to the best that I can, but most of them will still insist. So I couldn't stop it. It is God that has given me that authority. It is God that's given me that level of honor. Are we together? And I cannot do anything about it. Remember, it's God that gives honor, right? The Bible says he took from the honor of Moses and placed upon the elders. He gave them some honor. We can trace and see God gives honor from scriptures. And there is nothing I can do about it, even if I don't like it. I can't do anything about it. I am your pastor. Are you listening to me? It is God that has made it that way. And there is nothing, even if I hate it, I have to be it. I have to accept it. Hallelujah to Jesus. It says, recognize their authority. It says, for they keep watch over your soul. So how do you recognize their authority? By submission. With a consciousness and an understanding that they keep watch over your souls without resting, since they will have to give an account to God for their work. Is this sounding like a joke to you? The Bible says we'll give an account to God for our work. What is our work? Watching over your souls. When I was raising the first set of people here, I said, never stand before your pastor with a defense. Stand before your pastor always open. Never stand before your pastor with a defense. You know what that means? You're ready to say that it is not actually what they think that we are accusing you about. Pastor says the way you spoke in that meeting, you spoke harshly. Say, pastor, you wouldn't believe what he has done to me before now. Don't stand before your pastor with a defense. Always stand to listen. Because you should believe, like Paul said to the people, that my conversation and teaching were not with what? Enticing words from what? Man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit. That at every time your pastor, beyond teaching in church, would want to counsel you, you should understand it's a demonstration of the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit flowing through your pastor. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And so learn not to stand. Now, I don't mean that if you are wrongly accused, you should not say, sir, I think I was wrongly accused. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That I slept with that person. But your pastor is trying to correct you concerning attitude that he has noticed. Never stand with a defense. Because the Bible says that we will perfect you as saints. You are saints, so saints. But you need to be perfected into the reality of this sainthood. Else you'll be acting like somebody who is not a saint. You see, God already understands your destination. He has made the destination for you. He says you are totally forgiven. You've been rescued. You are a son. And all the beautiful things. Alright? But you need to be tutored. You need to be worked upon by the Spirit of God through the ministry of through the fivefold ministry in the local church, so that you finally become what? Who God has designed you to what? Become. In Ephesians 1 and 13, I think the Bible says the Holy Spirit in us is the surety that will touch what? Everything that Jesus has purchased for us on Calvary. And when I say the Holy Spirit, they don't just mean independent ministry of the Holy Spirit on your inside. You try that and see how far you can go. You can't go so far. You have to come. He did not teach you to neglect the guardian of brethren. Meaning if you have an independent spirit, it is not of God. You must love the assembly. Are we together? We did that teaching, I think, over 2 weeks ago. The assembly. You must always want to participate in what God is doing in a people. If you have this individualistic mindset, then God is not the one flowing through your life. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? You feel you are so anointed, you are so full of the Spirit, to the end that you don't like the company of brethren. You don't like the assembly. And not company, not that word assembly. I did it last week. I said by assembling, I mean you are actually in a place in church that you are useful, acting useful for the Lord. If they say assemble this machine, they simply mean put the part in the right place so that it can function for use. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So you can be available but not be assembled. It is very possible. So when you come to that point where you think you have arrived in a probably higher realm, but you're actually dying. Alright? You're decaying. If you find out you have this independent spirit, it is not of God. Are we together? So you will not neglect the word assembling of the brethren. I'm saying that to really explain the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to what extent he walks through people and personally to making us like himself. You know, personally he can walk with you. But he also said he walks corporately. And that is why he said you should not neglect what? The assembling. And of course, chiefly, he walks through the offices he has kept in the church. The fivefold word ministry. So if you just sit alone, there's something the Holy Ghost can do when you are seated alone. And it is nice that once in a while you sit alone with the Holy Spirit, have times of retreat. But if that is where you end, there is a problem. If that is the only thing you do, there is a problem. It simply means there's a wrong mindset within you that is sustaining this wrong attitude. Because he will not cause you to neglect. He has already said, do not neglect. So he will not lead you to what? Neglect. Because his word is yea and amen. The more sure of prophecy is what has been said already. The written word of God. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So whatever he's saying now must align with what has been said. God cannot tell you something different that the Bible had already said, you know, yesterday. You know? So if you observe it's different from scriptures, it is an unclean spirit speaking to you. It's a false spirit speaking to you. Are we together? And that is how you vet if you are in alignment with the Holy Spirit. You find out you are not having the desire to serve the Lord again like you used to. You know, the Bible teaches us that you have to come back to your first love. That something is wrong. And of course, chiefly, if you had seen that God would not want you to have an individual spirit, he wants you amongst the assembly of the brethren, then it cannot be God leading you that way. Whatever, whether it's offense, that offense is working unto death. In fact, no offense works unto life. Every offense works unto death, isn't it? And it's not justifiable. You have to come back in alignment with the Holy Ghost. If you observe, even in our midst, when you get offended, it always ends in the shambles. The people who become at the tail end of the receiving tail end, are always the people and systems that really matter for your growth. I don't know the idea I'm trying to say. You just got offended unnecessarily with somebody in church, but you left church at the end. So you see that what he wanted was for you to leave the church. It was not because of, you know, you losing that friend. That friend is just a minor stuff compared to the major thing he wants to achieve. You see that? So you see that everything that happened was to the end that finally, where are you? Not in church. You know, one time I spoke with a lady here. I said, she reported a case, and it was a very good case because she was on her right. And I dealt with the case the way I'm supposed to do it. And I said to her, finally, I think she came back to see me. The case didn't really go so well when we're judging because she was really offended, so offended. And she acted in a way that was not nice, but I understood with her because she was really offended. I think she had to disrespect a leader and some sort of. And I understood why she was offended. And she acted, she did the worst, and at that period she cut off from the church. And I told everybody to not talk to her. They should allow her, let her heal. And if she wouldn't come back, it's fine. I called the person who offended her. I corrected what I need to correct. I told him to go. Or I told her to go. So after a while, you know, I was just thinking, I said in my heart, if the person is mature, the person would not leave church. I said to myself, I said, if you're mature. But I understood because I felt like maybe the person is not that mature. And by not being mature, I'm not insulting the person. I mean mature in the things of God. Because if you are mature, that would not lead to you leaving the church. And after a while, the person came back to see me and apologized. Now, I think the person, their minds are cleared. They can see clearly now. Came to apologize and etc. And I said to the person, I said, when you were acting that way, I was really surprised. Now, I know you were really pained. I know you were really offended. But I didn't see any reason why the thing should go that far. Are you people not brethren in church? And I said, were you not offended in your house? Even with your siblings, have they not offended you so bad? Did you lose your family? Why do you think you should lose this family because of the offense? And I said, how long have you been in this church? The person said, over 3 to 4 years. I said, and you just want to leave in a day? Is this the first time you're offended? Yes. And this is the last time you should be in the church because of the first time you're offended? That means this is a good church. You're offended just the first time. I told her, we are dealing with human beings. You are not dealing with me. And I said, have I offended you before? No. Has my wife offended you? No. Has my daughter offended you? No. So why should I have to lose you as my disciple? Because of somebody else's problem. Why do I have to lose you? Why do you have to leave the church? I said, can you imagine the kind of trauma that happens in our head if we allow any kind of trauma to happen to us? I'm not saying it's happening. That we just sit down, we are serving God so faithful, and some people do rubbish, and we are receiving the consequence of the rubbish that happens. We did not find the trouble. We did not know when the trouble started. Boom, somebody just left the group. Let me put it like that. And we don't know what caused the problem. So I said, do you not imagine the kind of things that happen in our mind as preachers? I said, but I'm still here. And as you have come down, there is no problem. But so that you are wise, I have to correct you. Next time, because I promise you, will be offended again. I was promising the person. I say another one will come. You cannot abstain from offense. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Offense. John the Baptist said Jesus is the Messiah. Few verses before, few verses later, he said, go and ask that guy, is he really the one? Is he really the one? He's not acting like the Messiah. His expectation of the Messiah was really cut short. He probably thought Jesus should be flying without wings and etc. and doing some crazy works. And he got offended at Jesus. What did Jesus say? He said, go and tell him, blessed are those who are not offended at me. He was offended. If Jesus didn't say this, we would have not recognized that John the Baptist was what? Offended. Somebody who just prophesied about you is offended at you. You can imagine. It will surely come. And I said, the end of it is that you neglected your pastor. And secondly, you neglected the assembly of what? The brethren. And I said, to what end? Is that offense really an offense enough? And see how the devil behaves. Can you close the door, please? Just lock the door to reduce the breeze. See how the devil behaves. What led to that was that somebody else in church who had just left the church remembered a story about the person that she used to know, you know, and I've tried to deal with as a leader. You know, as human beings, we all have some assumptions about everybody. Seated here, we all have assumed wrong stuff about everybody. I'm telling you the truth. You know, years ago, a woman that I used to know so much, and she respects me even till date, but something happened in between the line in our relationship. Very elderly woman. When I say relationship, I mean I'm a pastor. She submits to me as a pastor. I don't mean boyfriend and girlfriend. Are we together? So we observed that as a ministry while I was in Kaduna, we will pray for her. I was a personal pastor. We'll pray for them. And when we have programs as a ministry, she wouldn't really give. She doesn't support the program. She takes the money and rather gives a prophet out there. There's a prophet she used to give, I think in Abuja. She'd go and give a tithe there. But we were the ones praying for her. We were the ones prophesying to her. But she goes to, because he looks, you know, more like a man of God. And we were not excited. Not because we're angry that we're not being given money, but we felt like we had simple programs like this that such a woman can even cover as an individual. And so we discussed it with one of my colleagues. We discussed the thing. Like, it's a problem. We discussed it. And secondly, there was another case that the woman had. That one is more confidential. I can't say it here. We discussed it. It's not our business, so that one now. But we spoke about it because we heard the rumor. We said, you heard that so person was in. Now, wow, God will help us. You know that kind of nice, amiable talk. You know, so cool. We did it. Then the person now started dating the woman's daughter, first daughter, after a while. So he now told the woman's first daughter our personal secret, our nice secret when we were, before he found love. So now there's a love, he is now betrayed my friendship, betrayed everything, and he told her exactly everything. And he didn't lie, he said exactly what we said, but he didn't say where he spoke, he just said, me, I said. He didn't say we discussed, he said, me, I brought it up. So when the lady had, she now told her mom that this is your pastor. You know, I pastor the whole family. So this is how our pastor spoke against us. And he said this and he said that. Now, I didn't really say a lie. Everything I said was actually true, just that it was not nice hearing it. You know, the truth is bitter. And maybe I didn't say it the right way. And the woman called. Hello, Prophet Simon. I really have something I want us to talk about. I'm not happy, blah, blah, blah. I said, what was it, ma? This is what I heard. Ah, Prophet Simon, how about now? I said, oh, ma, he told you this? Say, yes. I said, ah, ma, I will not lie to you. I said it. But you see, the interesting thing is that we discussed it together. As Jesus, I don't know how to lie. Me and your in-law to be, we flowed. I can't really remember, but he brought the second gist. And me too, I heard it and I responded. So, me, I actually joined this scene. But I want you to know that your in-law was the facilitator. We discussed it. She was so shocked I was agreeing. You know, she felt like I should say, I, you know, I said, my eye talk, Amo. I said. But if you observe, that time I was very young. All right? And I just said it, not out of any bitterness, but I said it. Hallelujah to Jesus. I did not deny it. I did not lie. At a point, we all spoke wrong stuff about people. Not really wrong stuff for me, because it was happening, just that it was still gossip. Some sort of. That is for the second one. For the first one, it was a reality. She was not giving. Because when I was talking to her, I said, ma, you know you are actually not giving for our programs. She said, I know, but I was preparing for something. I said, but my, your daughter used to tell us that you used to give to so person in Abuja. She said that. I said, yeah. So you see, the trouble was so much. Because now we had to say the truth. So I mean, I said the truth. So the daughter that reported the flu went back again. Now she, to daughter. Now, I mean, it was a very nice season. All right? I didn't deny it. So we all have actually said things out of assumptions. And some of us, it was truly gossip. At a point, if you are here and I've never gossiped somebody, say amen. All right. Akache shuru shuru ma magana ne. that means keeping quiet too is saying something. Because I say, say amen, nobody said amen. Meaning all these cute faces and humble looking faces, I've gossiped before. Yes. And I mean, seated close to you may be somebody who has gossiped you. Now, I'm being sincere to you. There is nobody that gossip like husband and wife. I fear husband and wife more than anybody in this church. That's why immediately people get married, I used to beg them, don't gossip. Out of all the things, reduce. I don't even say don't gossip, I say reduce the gossip. It should just be realistic gossip. Because you can't stop gossip. I gossip with my wife, but it's realistic gossip. If I want to know how much my wife loves me, it's when I have something to tell her. Say, there is something. You just see me, I'm sparkled up. And I say, I won't talk. Say, first time when I beg, I'm stop. What kind of children thing you are doing? What's this one now? I say, leave me to do children thing. Say, stop now, stop. She'll not come and sit down and beat up you. I say, for one gossip. Okay, I have three. Hey! But they are nice, realistic gossip. Not gossip unto death. God cannot use that gossip to kill us because it is not unto death. So almost everybody here have said something. I mean, seated here could be people who have talked against Pastor Emma. They are empty. I'm being serious to you. Seated here, smiling right now, could be people, laughing right now, could be people who have spoken against. They are empty at some point. You know why? They are very free now. They've repented. Like they know now that what they did was wrong, but they did it with their full chest. But they repented. You know, when they repent, they don't talk to themselves again too much. People that gossip, if they repent, you see them just hiding themselves in church because now the reason for their bond is not there again. It's not there again. There was a common denominator. It was that person they were talking about. They were all offended at that person. So let's take for instance, somebody doesn't sing more often in choir. They don't always get the mic to sing more often. And there's another person too that was not singing more often yet. Two of them, they will begin to love themselves. Because two of them, they feel they are not given the opportunity to sing more often. So there's this affinity for each other. You see that in the choir now, there's a way they are trying to talk to each other. Because there's a common denominator. This one can just catch that person's spirit that she's not happy. This one too is not happy. If you observe, they'll start visiting each other. They'll start bringing food for each other. They'll become best friends. I'm not saying only that reason makes people best friends. There are other nice reasons, but I'm just giving this one. Then when they sit down in the choir, anything people say, they're like, They don't want to contribute. Any small thing, Open your mouth and sing. Sir, I'm singing now. My chest is paining me. Sir, I cannot really sing. My throat is paining me. I swallow coin. Sir, this. Sir, that. You see? I tell you the truth. They'll be acting like monitoring spirits. Like familiar spirits. Not just the choir, other departments too. I was counseling a young man one time. He got to my office. I said, why are you abstaining from church? You know, I felt like flogging him that day. I don't want to call him because people say I always... It's somebody that I don't know. Let me not mistakenly say it. He said, sir, I'm not free. Firstly, I was disappointed. He's acting like a woman. See, don't be acting like a woman if you are a man. There's no flex there. Say, man, sir, are you mad? You are a man. What is that, huh? Some of those girlish, foolish things. Firstly, I was disappointed because he was trying to act. I said, sir, I was going through a lot. He was not doing eye like that. I said, hey. I looked at him. When I changed the eye, and as I was talking, I said, talk like a man. Why? I will not do in this place. He started talking like a man. Sir, I'm going through a lot. I said, good one. Continue with that tone. I said, what is the lot you are going through? You know, when people say they are going through a lot, I am disappointed these days because I've been expecting something nice, something that is worth a dryer. But for over more than 10 years of me pastoring, not just this church, I always hear nonsense. Sir, you don't understand. Let me hear the thing I will not understand. Sir, last week I lost my job. And just when I thought that I've had the worst, the money I now invested in a coin, the coin now dropped. So I'm talking to you, it's just 50 USDT that is in my wallet. And as the prophet will now smile. Because this man does not have 2.5 in his account. He does not have wallet. So you see, the prophet will not smile. Don't get disappointed. I tell you true life story. Somebody was telling me something, and I smiled. I said, Pastor, is that what is really what I'm saying that I'm thinking? I said, no, of course. I saw something. Go ahead, please. I now thank God she did not take it to heart. Ah! She was telling me, I don't want to mention her name. She's doing very well now. One of our leaders. So serious. I said, no. I just saw something that happened in school today. See, in my house, like, Jesus, thank you. She was like, she was ready to row. Sir, is it what I'm saying that is making you? I said, no. Then the next thing is, sir, I don't know what to do. Withdraw your 50 USDT and eat food. What is I don't know what to do? Like, me that don't have 2.5, is it me that I want to give you money? Then when they disturb, we'll now remove the 2,000 and leave our 500 and say, I take. Buy food. You say, sir, you don't know what you have done. I know what I've done. I'm talking to somebody who is over 100,000 rich. I'm giving them my last 2K and I'm left with 500. And I'm cool because I'll just go and eat without, and the next day I know God will bring somebody to give me something. We've learned to endure. That's what Paul said. In seasons of small and plenty. Somebody will come with another problem. What is your problem? Oh, yeah. Sir, I am going to a lot. Okay, what is the lot, sir? Just last 2 weeks, my mom fell ill. And I spent half of my salary. And sir, just when I thought that I'd had enough, I came back to work and my boss started shouting on me and disgraced me in the midst of all my people, even the people that hate me. So I don't think I can continue working there. Are you okay? You want to quit the job? You will cry pepper more than what you are. You just see us laughing. So you now hear me say something like, if you have been to my office, if you have this kind of case, this is how I respond to you. People know me. So what do you want us to do now? So you now be like, what's the prophet saying? What do we do now? So what is wrong with this prophet? What do we do now? I came for a solution. He's asking me, what do we do now? Then if I want to be more sarcastic, maybe I just want you out of my office very fast. You hear me say, you want to quit the job? Is it now see suspense? Small. Because the person now is having sense. You want to quit the job? Sir, if I quit, what will you do? The Bible says, count it all joy. They insult you. Are they going to pay you this one? Yes, sir. Can they be insulting you and be paying you? Is it bad? They insult you for a living and they pay you. Is it affecting your salary at all? Are you who God says that you are? Yes. They always say yes until they go out and they insult them. I am who God says I am, big head. I could not sleep. Why? They insulted who the person that said who God says that I am. They insulted the person, big head. He's angry that he has big head. They say, look at you. Look at this lady. She does not have shape. Look at your shape. Rubbish shape. In church, she was shouting, I know who I am. Bought with a price. I'm God's own special purchase possession. Born again. Full of the Holy Spirit. You look shapeless. Jesus Christ. Are you shapeless? Are you shapeless? You go back home. Hi. They're on their status. Don't listen to what people say about you. And they'll be checking if the person viewed it. If the person viewed it, boom, the next one. they don't matter. Only what God says matter. You know the most funniest part? 5 a.m. they are awake. Make sure nobody kills your vibe. Meaning they did not sleep well. I'm teaching you, you better be listening. These are real life scenarios. I said with the advice is becoming a sermon. Are we together? So me, I opened up, I told the woman, and we are still cool. The relationship did not spoil, because if it has to spoil, it will start from the daughter to the in-law to me. So everything was good. And talking about that person, and I'll say, when did they tell you these things? Say, yesterday, I'll be 2 days back. I say, the person I just suspended that leader over 1 week ago, and you are getting to hear this. Meaning the leader has this thing in their head. If it's actually true, you said it's not true. It's more like an assumption, isn't it? She said, yes. I said, that means this thing they've said, this leader who just told you that has been suspended, knew this thing probably 1 year ago or 2 years ago. Why are they telling you now? Why is the person telling you now? Because the person is suspended. Now, that means that person is a coward. I said, don't you see it? And I said, secondly, if you listen to us, when we said when people leave, don't have any connection with them until they heal. And if they heal, glory to God for their lives. Don't you know that church is a matter of destiny? You don't know that? The reason for church is kingdom. Kingdom is the reason we have church. So that we mirror kingdom on the earth through church. The will of God that kingdom should achieve, we are the facilitators as a church. It's a matter of life and death. Take it like a matter of life and death. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Say, after all, I just changed church. Can you change church? If you're working in MTN, will you just change to Airtel? Just like that? It's an assignment you've been given. You can't just wake up and say, I will change. No. Is there a reason to change? We did 8. We did 6, of this power of scripture, this same power of scripture. Where it says that considering the outcome of your faith, of their faith, follow your elders in the faith, considering their outcome. Meaning if you find a man of God who is doing wrong stuff, you can leave there. You can leave the church. Go back there again, verse 6 of this same power of scripture. It says considering the outcome of their faith. Let's see together. Is it verse 6, verse 8? I think we just did it now, right? 8 or 7? Very fast media, just check it and hit it up for us. I just read a part of scripture here that says something. No, not the 17. I spoke about the first part that says, verse 7. All right, verse 13. The way people drill me in this church, oh my God. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow. Why should you follow their faith? Considering the outcome of their conduct. Now, read 1 Corinthians 13 for me. From verse 1. All right, give me verse 2. Let me just start from verse 1. I pray in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love. I have become a sounding brass or a what? Clanging cymbal. But the NKJV said, I'm nothing. Next part of scripture. Sorry, the KJV, old KJV. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge and all knowledge, that's not the knowledge of Christ. Because if you know him, you cannot continue in your sin. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not what? Love. I am what? You see that? I am what? Nothing. In other words, it is possible to be a mental assenter. You have head knowledge. Probably you have worked in some level of faith, but the Bible says you can still end up being nothing if you know not love. Because knowing love is knowing God. The word have there in the original can also be substituted for knowing. Are we together? He said, I am nothing. Because God is love, it means it is possible to have faith and not know God. That's why some of us are against people who are just in faith every morning saying amen for things. You can get the things in faith and still not know God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Are you here? If you look at verse 1, it says you can pray in tongues of men and of angels and still not know God. Because it has become like a flex now in this generation. You can even sing and play with it. And people, you know, one time I saw a comedian joking with tongues, and I said, I couldn't help it. I said, you are filled with the Holy Ghost, I assume. The way you talk, it seems like you attend a Bible believing church. But joking with these things prove you don't know God. And he got offended. He wanted to reply, so I just deleted my comment. But I was so offended. What he used to do, I think he has stopped that. He does this comedy of women and pastor. He will hold the Bible and always, you know, act as a pastor that will see a woman and be following. I mean, you see a woman's body and you're like, Rebo, ku, 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 ku. What is the meaning of that? And I said, you are joking with secret things, holy things. And you can play with it like this because you don't know God, even though you claim to be praying in the Spirit. And he got offended, but it's the truth. You can pray in tongues and still be nothing. You can have faith and still be nothing. Faith can work for you and you still be nothing. Hebrews 10, I think verse, Matthew 7. It says, you say I healed in your name, I did this in your name, but I will say what? Away from me, ye workers of what? For I never... So it is possible to walk in the anointing and still not know God. You know, I did a teaching one time called the anointing and the glory. I hope you are listening to me. The anointing and the glory. If you flow in the anointing without the consciousness of the glory, you will still make mistakes. A hell lot of mistakes. Are we together? The Old Testament folks flow in the anointing. The New Testament folks are what? Flowing in the glory. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Touch that your neighbor. It's a demon. I rebuke the spirit of sleep. Now. Are we together? So he said, I am nothing. Go back to where we were. Why did I quote this scripture? To prove to you that you can walk in faith and your conduct can be still wrong. Because knowing, having faith, walking in faith is not an affirmation that you know God. Did Elijah walk in faith? Yes. Did Moses walk in faith? Yes. Did the old generals of faith walk in faith? Yes. Did they know God? No. Jesus said, he that seen me has seen the one that has what? Simple mass. Meaning, since Jesus was not in their days, they were not privileged to see and so what? Know God. And that is why their conduct, some of them, were wrong. Why did Moses not enter the promised land? You may say because he had anger issues, but I will say because he didn't know Christ. Because if you know Christ, you will not continue in your what? Sin. Yes, Moses tried, but if he knew Christ, he could curtail himself. He could curtail his emotions. Are you going to get what I'm trying to say? Why did Elijah call bear to eat the children? You can say because he's angry, but I will say because he didn't know Christ. We can go ahead and ahead and ahead and say plenty stories. Why did David sleep with somebody's wife and kill the husband? You may say because of lust, but I will say because he did not know Christ. Christ is the solution for everything. And righteousness, thou art what? Established, thou art what? Far from oppression and etc. The understanding of righteousness, meaning your place in Christ, is the solution for everything. Are we together? So go back to there. It says, whose faith follow? Why should he follow? Considering the outcome of their conduct. Meaning if the outcome of their conduct is bad, don't follow what? The faith. Why did I say this? So that you understand that the only legitimate reason to leave an assembly is because the person, the man of God, is acting different from what he is what? Preaching. I say it boldly. You attend a church, the man of God is womanizing. Leave. You attend a church, the priest, the Catholic priest or Orthodox or Protestant priest is womanizing. Leave the church. You are not supposed to be there because they are under the mastery of Satan. They can rule your life. Because if you look at this part of scripture in verse 17, look at what the Bible said. Hit verse 17 again. It says, and be submissive For they watch over your soul. So a womanizer cannot be watching over your soul. Because his soul needs to be watched over. Are you listening to me? Very important. So you can run away. That's the only legitimate reason. But outside that, if anything makes you to leave a church, I tell you, it's a devil. I know you are trying to find the connection with what I just said in the beginning. We'll get there. We're growing in the fire, you know. We're building up. Hallelujah to Jesus. So you ought to be careful. Don't neglect the assembly of the brethren. Yes, there's a place for personal work with the Holy Spirit, and there's a place for the church. By the church, at this point, I mean the fivefold ministry, the pastors, the teachers, the prophets, the apostles, and etc. What God is supposed to do with your pastor, he will not do it to you in the private. That measure of growth you ought to receive in the assembly of brethren, you will never receive it in private. And what you ought to receive in private, you will never receive it in the assembly of the brethren. Every quarter has a measure of what God can do in your life towards growth. I will get on trying to explain to you. Said nobody should deceive you to neglect the assembly, because that's the attack now, to neglect the assembly of the brethren, to look down your pastors. I'm saying this boldly to you. Guard your heart, for out of it flows the issue of life. If you get to that point, you're around those people who talk against their leaders, guard your heart. What does it mean? Don't put your hand on your chest and say, tonight I turn my heart in Jesus' name. Stand up and live there. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Let them know that you don't support it, so that next time they will not even start that conversation. Because the Bible says the words of the wicked wait in search for blood. It may not haunt you now, but it will finally haunt you. The day you have a problem with your best friend, the things you've heard about your best friend begin to play in your heart. They were just mere suggestions. You just assumed it. But now that they've acted wrongly according to you, we're not even sure they acted wrongly. All those things you used to assume about them will come alive in your heart. It will not amplify that little problem you have and make it very elongated. Because Satan is called the word accuser. Whenever he finds an opportunity, wherever he finds an opportunity to cause discord, he will amplify. He will make sure that discord is elongated. The problem becomes so advanced. Because he is the father of problems. He's the father of all lies. Are you listening to me? And that's why if you are not trained in the word, you will always be happy. You will not be happy. Offense will almost want to ruin your life. Any small thing you're offended at somebody says something, what if the thing is actually for you? Why are you offended? Why? You train yourself. The Bible says, who via use have gotten their mind what? Exercise. Use the word of God to exercise yourself. So that you come to that point that you are mature. That point that you can tell the difference between what? Wrongs and right. When you see the Bible through the Old Testament and New Testament, it said you come to that point where you can tell wrongs from right. It's actually equating that point for maturity. You see, Adam, a point will come, you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but not now. He said in Deuteronomy 1, I think 39, he said the little ones who have not yet known the difference between wrongs and right, meaning the little ones who are not yet what? Mature. So in Hebrews, if it says you come to that point that you can tell the difference between wrong and right, it means that point that you are what? A mature Christian. Who is a mature Christian? The one that can discern the difference between what? Wrongs and what? Rights. And not just wrong and right as regards sin. What is sin and what is not sin. Wrong and right as regards everything in life. Do I necessarily need to get offended? Why should I get offended? I beg, I will not get offended. You see, you have grown in maturity. Why should I allow somebody to affect my peace? You have grown in maturity. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You are not just a mere mental assenter. The word of God has got into your system. I'm saying this because we come to a point where Satan sometimes will want to make an attempt to frustrate us as pastors. That you are training people, before you know, they start behaving like some demons have gotten into them. And a lot of times it's because they've been getting advice from wrong people. You really think the people who are advising you to live the will of God for your life really love you? You think they love you? You know, a young man met me and said, sir, he's serving somewhere. I said, sir, there's a call of God on my life, and I think it's about time I go and implement it. And the truth is that generally, I'm not a fan of. I don't believe God will just tell people to be partitioning themselves. I believe, except the man of God is misbehaving or not doing the will of God, God will now say, okay, partition yourself. Else, if you think what we are doing is what you are supposed to do, why not get plugged in and do it? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So I'm not a fan of that. And I think a lot of people believe this same belief in me. People like Chris Delver, Pastor Chris, do things like this and the rest. And we see it littered in scripture. Paul having Timothy and Titus and etc. And they didn't call it their ministry. It was just an extension of what God was doing through the life of Paul. So I said to him, I said, why not probably serving God here? What happened? And he said to me, I just think, then he now got to a point, he was offended. He now said the problem. I said, this is the real problem. There's a real problem. I said, and thank God you met me. Now you're going to go back and serve your pastor. He said, sir, I said, go back. And I pray God makes you to always meet people like me. I led him back. He was saying, sir, but I have people like, I said, see, you don't have people. He said, I have people who I can start with. I said, you don't have people. He said, I have people. I said, you go and start in 2 months, you have nobody. I think they promise you that they will die with you in this ministry. I give you 2 months. You alone will be setting the speakers. That's if you are able to buy a speaker. He looked at me. Why is this prophet so sure of what he said? I'm not speaking because I have people who have left me and I'm alone. But I've seen people leave the ministry. As anointed as I think I am, as a teacher and a prophet, I've seen people leave the ministry. I mean, people left Jesus, so I'm cool. If they left Jesus, they can leave me. Not just Judas. Judas betrayed Jesus. A whole lot of people left Jesus. Check John 6. I mean, he sounded frustrated. If not that he was Jesus, would have thought that he was frustrated. Because he said to the 12, he said, will you not go to? And he said, to whom should we go to? You have the word of what? But if it was a normal man, will you not suspect frustration there? Because what kind of a question is that? The people that now said they will stay, you are now asking them, why are people not going? Aren't you seeing other people going? Why? Because the Bible said what he taught, the discipline he had, they could not help. They could not receive those disciplines. You know, when the Torah tells you that, the Torah's definition of teaching, Bible states this definition of teaching, it's not ba 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 ba. No. When you say a teacher, Jesus said in his word, a disciple can never be what? Better than his master. And a slave to his word? Huh? I think a disciple to his teacher and a slave to his master. You see what he said there? Now, meaning if I'm your teacher, what are you supposed to be? A disciple. Meaning it's not just doctrine I give you, I control you. I tell you what not to do because I watch over your soul. I can tell you, delete that thing from your status. I can tell you, you shouldn't get into a relationship with somebody who is not born again. We've seen that the guy is not born again. Don't get into a relationship. I mean, a lot of people will be shouting on Facebook. They don't have churches. They don't have pastors. They should not school you. You should teach them. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Some are speaking from offense. Where they used to be, somebody abused them, something did, something. Tell them to look for another church. Not to be insulting people on Facebook. Hallelujah to Jesus. So Jesus had the situation. Now I told the young man, I said, you will lose all of these people because what I'm seeing now is not the will of God. A lot of times before you do things, check your motives. Check your motives because life is too ambiguous for you to go and dare things that you're not supposed to do. You need the backing of God. Life is too ambiguous. Check your motive. Why do I want to do this thing? Why am I daring to do this thing? Why am I saying this thing? Why am I taking this decision? Check your motive. Because if it is not God, you are your own and you will suffer. That's why people suffer unnecessarily. You want to get married? Check your motive. Why am I following this man? Why am I? Check your heart. If it's not God, run away. The lady may not be a bad lady. The guy may not be a bad guy. But if it is not a God connection, it will end in shambles. Both of you will finally get frustrated. Because both of you are in the wrong place. That it looks nice does not mean it's God's will. It can look nice, but not be, the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right to a man. Meaning everybody will say, you guys match. The lady I used to be with, when we walk on the street of Jos, they used to applaud us. People would be driving and be hailing us. We were tall, tall together. We were not dressed to match. Not like Anko. It was Pastor Emma that was doing Anko those days. I dressed to match, jean and t-shirt. And sometimes it's a coincidence, not like we planned the dressing. And people be like, "Oh, you guys are good." You know, there was one that healed me one time. I said, "Kai, not this, you separate people. You are too perfect together." See me today. I'm married. She's on her own in another world. But it looked so well to human beings. I think somebody has even sowed seed in that relationship. I wonder if you will reap that seed. Because I think I'm the one that reaped the seed. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. And I hope there's nobody seated here saying, "Sir, I am going to enter the relationship for a season to teach her." You are not Holy Spirit. God can teach her without you starting a relationship. I mean, how do you guys do those things? "Hello, sweetheart. I want to teach you on faith." Sweetheart, faith is the substance. I mean, your lips are so cute. Jesus Christ. Faith is the substance of this. Hey, this guy fine die. How do you do it? Hallelujah to Jesus. Especially when it's not God's will. It went in shambles. Hallelujah to Jesus. I hope you are learning something tonight. So I was called to talk about this because I've seen people who started in God. And sometimes I want to say, "I'm disappointed." But, you know, I wouldn't say that. I understand the grace and mercy of God. So I wouldn't say that. But I expected more. That's the truth. Because sometimes as I'm teaching, I've learned to see everything as normal. But you see, as we teach the word of God, I will call it ignorance. We thought that what we are teaching, we know actually, but there was an assumption at the initial point. It's a reality, but we're so proud with it. We felt like these things we are teaching are too powerful, and they are, and nobody should make a mistake. But what we're not aware of was that some people were hearing, some people were what, listening. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Some were listening, but some were just hearing us. So it's every Sunday they hear the thing and go back home. They don't keep on hearing. Because it's continuous hearing that produces faith. I wish you understand this trick. That you don't need to work hard to have faith. Plug your ears to the revelation of Christ. And I don't mean necessarily carry the Bible and be quoting alone. Mm-mm. When we've broken the revelation of Jesus, carry the MP3, plug it to your ears. Faith cometh by is a resultant effect of hearing. It is the word of God that produces faith. You cannot produce faith. As you keep on listening to the word, faith is produced from your spirit. The substance of faith is produced. You cannot decide to be in faith. If you've not been hearing the word of God, you can't be in faith. No matter how hard you try, you will be scared. Why do you think some people just fear? They always sit in church on Sunday until any small thing, they are shaking. Why? And that's why most preachers are faith people, because they are always interfacing with the word. Whether I like it or not, I always read my Bible every day. Whether I like it or not, I'm necessitated to read my Bible. There is no day I don't study a part of scriptures. Two part, three part. There is no day, and there will be no day. Because I'm a pastor. Firstly, God speaks to me. He has personal dealings with me. And I have to learn so much for the people. So what we are not aware of is that some people are just hearing once in a while. They don't keep on hearing. And so when we see them make mistakes, we are wondering, with what we are teaching here, I will get so offended. Not realizing that not so much we're really listening. And that's why you have to pray as a pastor. Satan is working hard. Sometimes I'm tempted to say, give Satan his flowers in this aspect. I'm not saying Satan is powerful. You know, I want to say it like that so that you should understand me. You think Satan will just look at all of you like this and say, hello, GCMI, I don't have time today. When I eat and I'm ready, I will tempt you people. Satan, as I'm teaching now, he's warming up. He's doing press up. That's why some people are sleeping in this service. He's working hard. He's working hard. I mean, as I'm talking to you, somebody's mind is in their house now. Like, they're thinking of something. They think they're the one that carried their mind and put inside their house. It's not you. Listen to me, if you are the one I'm talking to now. You are not the one that carry your mind now and go to Lagos or Abuja. Some of you, when the word starts, you just observe that you are thinking of your problem. That's where your problem will be highlighted in your heart. The fact that you don't have rent will now be so obvious in your mind. You'll be conscious of the fact that your mother is sick. You'll be conscious of the fact that you have issues in your life. Why do you think it's the time that the word is coming that you are thinking of those things? It's so that you rebel the word. So that there's repulsion. He doesn't want the word to get on your inside. Remember, some seed fell on what? Rocky ground. Some seed fell upon ground that had thorns. You see that? So that as the word is coming, you will now remove chuku chuku. Let me say it the way you understand. In case you don't know thorns. Thorns mean chuku chuku. Problems will be coming and choking the word from your heart. Be thinking of problem at that point, and you get sad. Then the word will not produce, because how can you be sad and the word will produce effect? Why do you think I see some of you and you see me telling you, learn to cheer up? You don't have two lives to live. Why are you wasting wrong energy? Enjoy your life. See, why are you putting your face? I don't have 1 million. Because there's a project I need to do. I need to do this thing. You don't have the money. The project has not been done. Will you die tomorrow? Give yourself a break. Don't be cutting your life short. Science has proven it that the more worried you are, the more your lifespan is reduced. You need a lot of energy to be angry. You need a lot of energy to be worried than the energy it will take for you to smile. I think according to science, it takes little or no amount of energy. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's just... just get excited. Hallelujah to Jesus. And when it seems like joy is hard, know that you have the strength of the Spirit on your inside. Force the joy. That one now we can tell that the joy of the Lord at this point is your strength. Meaning, how do you mount up the strength of the Lord? The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy, meaning joy connects to strength. You see? Joy connects to strength. How do you walk in strength when you are faced with difficulties? Start laughing. Not stupid laugh from comedy or skit. That's not the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord comes from the Lord. It's a byproduct of the word. I've spoken my word to you so that so the word is a function. That joy is a function of the word. Meaning you read the power of scripture, look at your problem, and it makes you laugh. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. You look at a problem, you look at the scriptures. Ay, shabakaru sabaya. It's giving you, it's making you laugh. You look at the power of scripture, you look at the problem. Ha ha! That's the joy of the Lord. That joy is anchored on the word. And that's what the Bible says, it is with joy we draw. Because you saw the problem, you saw the word cost you, determined your joy. And from that point, you are praying. That's where God wants you to pray from. You could be just be making noise. 1 Corinthians 13:1. You could be making noise praying in tongues if you don't know these things I'm saying, if you don't know God, if you don't have a revelation of His word. It could just be a word, a sounding brass. He does this thing for me. Bang, gang, 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 gang. That's what you are doing. Pray in tongues. Bangalanganga. Somebody should go and hit it for me. Carry the stick. Let me show you how your tongues is when you are not praying with joy. With the revelation of the word. Please see this one that is doing well. That's how you're praying. Bang, bang, bang. What will you do if you are there? Stop making noise now. That means in the realm of the spirit, God is like, hey, why are the people disturbing us? When you're, if you like, do like you are a dog. As long as you are not happy, you are making noise in the realm of the spirit. Do, you know, I see some people say that they are groaning. That's a fruit of ignorance. I almost have headache just doing that now. Let me continue the way I'm talking, because I knew that if I shout this evening, my head will scatter. Hallelujah to Jesus. The thing is leaving me small. I will soon stand up. Amen. Yes. Some people heard this revelation recently that there's a groaning of the spirit. I don't know if some of you have started it too, but let me stop it for you. You see this? Hey, you are insane. Something is wrong with you. We don't know how to pray as we ought to, but the Holy Spirit helped our what? Infirmities. Romans 8:26. With groanings too deep for words. Groanings that words cannot utter. What are words? Hello, how are you doing? How is everything? These are groanings. Words, human words cannot utter it. The groanings there is tongues. Praying in the spirit. Are you listening? It is because your prayer is not heartfelt. That's why you don't know that it's groaning. Some of you want to pray. You just carry your phone. You know, feeling it. So your own is tongues. So the ones that get a little bit serious on Facebook, some of them will set their camera and say, Lord, we groan. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. And because of how serious you've been working with God, you have to just leave whatever you were calling tongues now to focus on this one, because this one looks more serious. Because when they say pray, you are treating, some of them treating God. Shake, 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 shake. There's no power in that kind of prayer. The effectual is no heartfelt vessel. There's no coincidence in scripture. The effectual, heartfelt, continuous. What is 2 minutes, people? Praying 5 minutes. Effectual, heartfelt, what? Continuous. The prayer must be continuous. That's where power is. And I don't mean go and force it to be continuous. But of course, I will encourage you and challenge you at a certain level of your faith. At certain times in your walk with God, you should know that you should not be praying that minute again or that hour again. You can't be praying 1 hour for more than 3 years or 5 years. You must have time. See, even if you are praying 1 hour because of your schedules, your work, and etc., have times that you go long stretch prayers. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? A day you just wake up and you pray. And listen, as long as you are working with the Holy Ghost, He must lead you to those days. He is actually fortifying you for the future. It's more like what David said. He said, teach me to number so that I will apply my heart to what? Wisdom. Redeeming the time for what? The days are evil. He will fortify you for evil days. Certainly, evil days must come. If not directly, indirectly. Satan cannot touch your life. Your brother start getting sick. See, let's be realistic. There is no problem that God has with us on this earth. It is us that all have problems. Most of the times, we are not adequately using what God has given to us. We are not managing it well. That's why we are having issues. They call him the greatest preacher, C.S. Spurgeon. He said, all of my problem is my fault. All of my victories is from God. All of my problems is my fault. All of my victories is from God. Meaning, if it's my problems, don't put God in it. And he has said, I do not tempt human beings with evil. As a pastor, I've observed people. You tell somebody, go like this, they'll stand like this. After 3 years, they are expecting the glory from this part to come to them. Talk less of God. I've seen people broke for more than 3 years because they couldn't do one instruction. Are you listening to me? A lot of times when God says, take this route, you think, if he says, take the route, you don't have everything figured out, so you are scared. He speaks to you through your pastor. A lot of times, a billion times, many times. Will you be the one to encourage yourself? There are certain things you will never be the one to tell yourself to do. Even as a pastor, there are other people that have encouraged me to do things. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You need someone to push you. I was telling my wife about someone who reported to me recently that he got an offer with a company. They will send him a laptop and he will learn tech and will help him, you know, programming, help him to get a job. Now, it's not like a new thing. We have a lot of people who work in Petra team. But I remember I've been telling this person every time. Move towards them. Say, no, I don't have laptop. I don't know. But you see, when your mind, when you made up your mind that what pastor told me, I want to do it. Somehow you started making research. Somehow you found the company. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? If you didn't want it, you will not find that company. If you didn't take bold step of faith, you would have not been interfaced with that company. They will say they will give you a laptop. They say they will teach you for free. It's a scholarship. And finally, they say they will give you a job. What if you just sit down and say, how am I going to do this thing? You will sit down there forever. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? You must take bold step of faith. Pastor say, I should go and increase myself to 50. I should go and increase my fellowship to 200. That means pastor believes in my capacity. I really didn't think I would do that kind of thing. What do you start making research? Holy Ghost, you've given me your word. You said 200. Learn to make it. Learn to call it God. You've given me your word. Don't say prophet said. Say God, you have given me your word. I have heard your word in the name of. You see, it is literally scripture. Whenever the prophet speak, the king do not say the prophet said. They say God said to us. Are you listening to me? You pray, Lord. In the name of Jesus, you are helping me to see what my pastor, what you showed me through my pastor. In the name of Jesus, I have 200 and more. In the name of Jesus, as you are praying, you will bump into visions. As you are praying, the Lord will help you start connecting people. Because you are conscious of that assignment that has been given to you by the Spirit of God. When you sit to talk to people, you are giving all this probably to teach tech. You are talking. All of a sudden, you just found out you are pushing Jesus in the discussion small, small. You can't be somewhere and after 30 minutes, you don't smuggle Jesus in the conversation. Let me put it like that. Before you know, you have gone beyond tech. They are nodding their head to the kingdom. They are nodding their head. This is more like an agenda. You are just using tech as a gateway to get into the system. But more, you are not there for tech. You are there for souls. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? That's what you are there for. Don't allow the tech get into your head that you forget God. If Peter allowed that, he would have suffered. Why do you think Peter? You know, firstly, I heard this from a man of God and I think it's true. He said, Jesus was just done preaching around where Peter was. And Peter did not attend that meeting. He was trying to catch fish. Jesus was preaching just by the side. Peter was trying to get fish. Peter did everything he could. He couldn't get no fish. And Jesus came to him and said, can I use your boat? That was prophetic. It was not a mistake. It was not a coincidence. He wanted to show him that, you see, if you had attended, what you'd have gotten from me. Because what Jesus told him was what he had said in that meeting. You don't get what I'm trying to say. The word of God he received from Jesus, he would have received it in the meeting. The same thing that happened would have still happened. Because if you look at it prophetically and mathematically and logically, Jesus was in the boat, both in the preaching and when he entered the boat. Let me show you. Jesus entered the boat. He took his time. That's the emphasis. He took his time. He entered into his work time. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yes. If he was in the meeting, Jesus would have still taken his time. He would have not been fishing that time he was fishing that and caught nothing. And so Jesus came and showed him. He said, if you had given me your time, you would have gotten this kind of harvest when you come back. And this, your brethren, would have still been fishing. The battle is not to the word. It is of God that's word. Showed mercy. Come boldly into the throne of Christ that you may receive what? In times of what? Don't be just pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and forgetting God in life. Some of you seated there, you cannot tell when last you prayed effective 1 hour prayer without touching your phone, without picking a call. I'm sincere. You see, people come every time they have problem. Ask them, do you pray? They'll say yes. How do you pray? Let's be sincere with ourselves. How many people will keep their phone like this? Or off the phone? Rabakadabalakada. And and not look at the phone. Not even look. I mean, you're talking with God and you check who is the person calling me. Because the person that is calling you matters. If it was one call like this, you will pick and say, so when will the money? You've sent it. Okay, I'm praying. I'm praying. And maybe you said, I'm at the gate. You say, okay, I'll meet you in 2 minutes in Modern Market, right? With the money, right? I'm coming. I'm coming. They'll just leave Jesus there. You'll just be sitting, watching them. How many times have you left Jesus? He was like this. Like, you started the prayer, he sat with you. Kenneth Hagin showed us. He said, when he wanted to pray one time, he had Jesus, he saw Jesus appeared and sat at the front of him, like on a chair. He kept the chair in faith. Jesus sat there and they were talking. Meaning, when you want to pray every time, Jesus is there. You are talking with Jesus and you stand up from Jesus to go and collect money somewhere. Look at Peter. At the end, he had a net breaking. I mean, a lot of people were fishing there. But see what happened to him. God is the hack of life. Knowing him is the hack of life. He said, if you seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, every other good thing the Gentiles seek will be what? Added unto you. I did a teaching one time called Beyond Worries to Kingdom. Forget the worries. Get capacitated. You will redeem time with time. With time, time will be redeemed. I know what I'm telling you. You get to a point that you have been made and capacitated. At this point, angels are waiting at your beckoning. You say it in. Because of how much capacitated you are, they align. Creation align. They follow everything you are saying. Because you have given your time to prayer. You have given your time to the word of God. They can't neglect your words. You become a blessing to generation. You say, God bless that man. The man notices that when he goes back home, things begin to change. Because you have been investing in God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Don't joke. No matter how Nigeria is tough and life is tough, don't trade your time with God. Create the best time for God. I don't know of other churches, but as a church, I can confidently tell you that 90% of the good things you are enjoying as regards finances in this church came from the church. You can imagine. I just was called for a job before I got into this place of over $18 per hour. And they needed as much as the people I can bring. I mean, don't come and gather me after the service. Before now, I've had opportunities I pushed people into. In the church, we were seated here praying, God told us Petra. In a prayer meeting, we started it. See the outcome today. In this church, 90% of our people are affiliated to tech in their workspace. Whatever they do is affiliated to tech. Is it a coincidence? Is it not God Almighty? You should go out. If you want to know, if you think you are not successful, like the children of Israel, they were thinking they were not successful. You should go out. At least you are not in Egypt. You go and check other places. A sister said she was coming with bike one time and the bike man told her, he said, your church used to give job. That's why I like the church. I'll start attending soon. We heard the rumor. Do we give job in our church? Somehow we have connected people to jobs, but we don't give jobs in our church. What do? We prepare people to be capacitated so that they can interface at the right time of opportunity with what? Jobs. I have very good coders, more than 10 in this place. Many have jobs. I have still many, or a few of them, that don't have jobs yet, or let me say good jobs yet, but they are very good. Does it mean they are failing? My phone has always been on waiting mode, waiting for when I'll hear, sir, I just got a $1,000 job. 7, because we have been preparing. So when I hear the time, the job, I will not be surprised. Are you beginning to try and say, what have you prepared? Right now, we're trying to train some people in cybersecurity. It doesn't look like it makes some sense. You know, I saw a post Pastor Peter made or shared from someone who said you need 3 years to be really grounded. Yeah, true. But I tell you, you can learn tech, finish this month, and be employed the next month. I have seen it happen. You know, sometimes I give example with Betty. We were here one of these evenings when they learned tech in Petra. You all have heard the story. And I don't think she finished. I remember I entered the class one of those days and I mocked her laptop. It was like a transformer. When she on it, it's boom. And I said, you brought transformer to learn? You know, my holy jokes, no string attached. And we all laughed. And one of these days, I wanted someone to get that job. There was somebody I wanted to get that job when the opportunity came. And the person was not around. So I now said, I think we should give a lady this job. I just said it like, I said, I think it should be a lady. Or I think they requested for a lady. Or I said it should be a lady or something. But I think I was preferring a lady or so. And I said, since Nat is working there too and is good too now, is collecting well. But I said, since Nat cannot do it because he's a student, let's look for a lady. I think the head of media, Sonny, he looked. I said, sir, I think this lady will be good. I said, who is that? I said, Betty. She did, but I'm not so sure. Let me call her. I call her. I said, what is the full meaning of, I think HTML. I don't think she answered me. I don't think she was able to answer one or two simple questions I asked her. And I laughed. I said, this one is only God that will help you. But I declare favor upon you. So I said, Nat, take this night and do TDB brushing for her. Let her go for the interview. TDB what? Brushing. Brush her through whatever she had learned. When she went there, she answered, the same one she did not know, she was just speaking confidently. So the person said he likes the confidence. Funny enough, she did that interview with my coursemate. And now my coursemate is a programmer. When I heard that he was part of the interview, I didn't remember Betty's name. I forgot that she went for the interview. When I now heard she got a job, I said, dear Jesus. I mean, we didn't try to work anything. You know, the company believes, Pastor Ann was working the jobs. I mean, they can watch me. I'm saying they actually think so. So it's not a problem. They believe Pastor Ann was looking out for her church members. That is why most of our guys get the job. But she never did that. She actually brought the opportunity to us, and they went there and got the job on merit. You know, there's this conspiracy. When it's a black man, there's a black hat, and there are black things happening around. Whenever there are black men in any system, and they fed, you know, when I was speaking with the heads, I told them, I said, you don't know what state you are, and no matter how much you know this state, I know it more than you. They can watch, I'm not lying. I said it to them. I said, I think we should, all of us should watch our back. And, you know, she's not there. We give God praise. They are wonderful people. We still love and respect them. Hallelujah to Jesus. At least no one is losing. So, she got a job, and I was so amazed. And right now, you know, once in a while I call her, I said, let me be sure you know what you are doing. Because the last time I asked you some simple question, you did not know. And now she codes it, I think, in 3 or more languages. She's good. A senior developer. Hallelujah to Jesus. From that point. So when they say learn programming, sometimes you see some people learning, or learn HR, or learn this, or cybersecurity. Say, hey, cybersecurity. I even saw that before you become. It takes 3 years. They're just being logically realistic. But you have favor with God, and you have with men. Are you able to get what I'm trying to explain to you? Some of you, before you graduate from the course, a job is already waiting for you. He had told you I will bless the work of your hand. He is looking for something to steer the blessing. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Just start something. Start learning something. You believe you're supposed to be super rich. Why are you not doing anything? Why are you just seated? You're not doing anything. You're going to be the most wealthiest person. That's your fate. But you sit down, you are not doing anything. You don't complete any task. You are not consistent. When last did you start something and finish it? I told my wife one day, we're talking. I said, see, it is not easy to be rich. Quote me anywhere. It is not easy. I'm not talking about blood money. Those, they are useless Yahoo money. I'm talking about real riches. You've got to be really consistent. Riches are not for people who start and stop, start and stop, start and cry. Even if you cry, continue. Don't cry and stop. If it pains you, cry and continue. As in consistency, you will see power. Kenneth Copeland's wife quoted. She said, I mean, it's in consistency that you begin to walk in mastery. Are you listening to me tonight? Don't just sit down. Don't be lazy. Even as a woman, don't be lazy. Don't have a lazy mind. Say, I'll marry a rich man and he will take all my problems. At least look at me now. I shall go. Who will reject me? They are asking me what I bring to the table. Am I not the table and anything on the table enough? Am I not everything that should be on the table? My being is not on the is not supposed to be on the table. I am the content of the table. Look at me. Check me out. It will shock you. You may actually end up marrying somebody who has money, but you don't understand life. It's not predictable in the flesh, only in the spirit. The person is not submitted to the Lord and is rich. There are two things involved. He must face difficulties. You'll be part of the difficulties. And if he does not have the stamina to stand those difficulties, you go down with him. The second thing is that if he's not scared of difficulties, he's into rituals. And finally, your head may be needed. There are two things involved. These are the two things I've said. But if he knows the Lord again, there are many things involved. Let me see whether I still two that will stop. Firstly, he may not be rich right now. And he may be rich, but he may not be rich right now. You know, I was watching this movie. I don't know how my wife came across the movie on YouTube. The guy just became born again in a fellowship. I can't remember the title. The next day, he was going for an interview. I don't think he went going to propose an idea for over 200 million. He loaned 30 million to do it all. He was living his life. They have given him time to come and propose it. They've given him everything. Just come and propose, I'll give you the money. You pay back your loan. In fact, from the loan, because he was so sure, he gave his wife 5 million. Sorry, his girlfriend, 5 million from the loan. To cut a long story, while he was going with his BMW, the latest series, the car stopped on the road. You know, if you have a car, you understand what I'm trying to say. You don't take it so serious. It can just stop anytime. And it's cool. We move. The car stopped on the road. And because he was already getting late, he now called a taxi. He didn't even know who he told to wash the car for him. Okay, please help me wash the car. He now entered taxi, entered bike. His cloth tore as he was coming down from the taxi. When he came down from the taxi, he found that they've removed his car. Watch. Went for the interview 40 minutes late. Sorry, they now said he's not a serious person, they cannot do business with him. He lost the contract. As he was crying, and okay, let me go back home at least, carry my car, let them fix it, let me see how I'll brush my life. While he was going back, no car, he stolen the car. I mean, he got born again yesterday. While he was shouting and saying, "Where's my car? Where's my car?" as he was doing his hand, he collected his phone. Then he sat down somewhere and was crying. A voice now told him, wait till you do your life where you carry and give God. You give your life to God, wait till you do the life. Is spoil? See how your life was going well. That's how Satan be. He takes advantage. Somebody just makes you offended. Your friend makes you offended. Satan will just come. That's an evil child. You know, you literally can hear Satan from immature ladies easily. When they have problems with their friends, you hear things like this. I don't know, say she hates me. She don't jealous me for so long. That's Satan speaking. They are just allowing Satan flow through them. Satan started speaking through this young man and he gave up on his faith. He now went back to the pastor and said the pastor should give him his life back. He said, as at this time, yesterday, pastor, I was chilling in my house. My car, latest series BMW, was intact. My this thing was intact. Pastor, when I gave my life to Christ, everything crashed. Pastor said, that's how God does this thing sometimes. He crashed everything to rearrange it. He said, pastor, no, God cannot crash my life. You have to give me. He said, pastor, so what will God do? He said, pastor now said, what I can do for you is prayers. He said, he got offended and left the pastor. And now went to his girlfriend. Girlfriend was doing TikTok. May God not give us girlfriend that only do TikTok and not know the Lord. May they do TikTok and know the Lord. That one is better. And TikTok is not bad, but you should know the Lord. So the lady was reading. She now told him to wait. When she now finished the life, she now said, okay. Why are you looking and smelling like this? She now said, you smell so irritating, like rotten egg. You know, when you are in love with foolish people, at that point, a wise wife, a wife material. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Talk about women like their Ochanya and their Otis, them, and their Pastor Anne. I'm talking about women like that. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? They'll first hug the husband, remove the cloth, push him to the shore, throw the soap for him and the rest. Show only what is wrong. Try to make his best food for him. Encourage him. I said, why are you smelling a rotten egg? You don't say me, rotten egg. Calm down. You should have asked me the problem before insulting me. What was the problem? I was robbed. Hey, Jesus. She now said, from the 5 million I gave you, please borrow me 1 million. She said, 1 million, how will you pay me? You don't have anything again. The guy gave up on himself. He said, am I dreaming? I'm not begging you for money. I'm like, the money I give you, inside the money, borrow me just one, like this, one. I will give you back. She said, you don't have, in fact, you have been dating, now brother, and I, we have been dating for 3 years, no ring. I've been waiting to tell you this for long, no ring. I don't think I can continue this relationship. She broke up immediately. He stood up, he started, tears was falling, like everywhere, first blow, you know. Tears was just falling from his eyes. As he was going, he told the lady, I will bounce back. She said, She has heard that from a lot of men that he bounced back. And he left. When he now went back home, her armed robbers now entered the house. He was about to commit suicide. The armed robbers entered. He held the knife like this. Armed robbers entered. As armed robbers entered, he said, my friend, raise your hand up. Lie down. He started laughing. Ha ha! Hey, whoa! They didn't know why the guy was laughing. They were funny to him. He said they can, he now told them, you can make this thing faster. Just, I'm about to kill myself. Just blow here, you blow here. Just kill me now. Do it for me, please. Amrobat now was confused. What kind of a human being is this? Then the armed robber, the leader, was touched. Because they search everywhere. One naira is not everywhere. It was juice they started drinking in the fridge. So, armed robber now brought here and sat and said, Oga, any problem? He said, Oga, my problem's too much. He said, can you share with a brother? Armed robber now is calling him brother. Share. A problem solved is a problem. Shared is a problem half solved, they say. And he started sharing. The armed robber started saying, hey, yeah. And you want to kill yourself? You see that God is real, but God sent us here. Imagine armed robber. to prevent you from killing yourself. You just say, God, they don't say, we used to pray before we go out for operation. And God led us to your house. We don't know why we entered your house. But we know God led us. The guy was now shocked with God. He was looking at them. You know, I remember a part that made me to laugh while he was sharing the story with the leader, the gang leader. The two IC of the gang leader was now saying, oh boy, talk before I blow your head. He now told the guy, he said, I will woos your two IC. I will trick you. They want to rob you and you want to woos somebody. It should show you that the guy is already dead. It's just speaking. And I mean, after everything, the man gathered money. Armed robbers did contribution and gave him money. I told him that they want to be a testament that God is real. He started crying. And remembering everything the pastor told him, that if God wants to arrange your life, he first scatter it. Have you seen Baba Bola before? That carry iron, those cans, those squeeze it to be wondering, what did the cook can do to you? But they are about to make something new from it. How many of you have felt squeezed? Like, as I'm talking, you are like, Pastor, you are talking to me. You're talking to me. That's how it is. I mean, if you look at your friends right now, you think they are far ahead of you. When you look back to Egypt, you see them. They are dressing to match. They are snapping for birthdays. They are doing anko. Her and her husband are dancing. Buga. But you are in GCMI. You have to be in service on Tuesday. You have to partner. You have to disciple people. You have to win souls. Meanwhile, I see your friend. If I even the one that left the church, left, she have married, she have two children. Sometimes you love her picture with her husband. Life is sweet for them. Look at you. What do you have to show? Then one day they just offend you. Boom! Before you know you are married. Because that's what is in your heart all this while. Anything that comes can fly. The funniest part of that story was that the girlfriend, when the brother told the story of the girlfriend, the Amroba said, can you give me her address? He said, oh God, no, it does not reach that level. If you don't give me the address now, I will blow your head. They gave him address. Then I went and robbed the girlfriend. He said, you see, as God has blessed you too through us. God has blessed us, sorry, through you also. We bless you, you bless us. This wickedness is justified. They went straight to our house. She will transfer all she has got. All. Plus the TikTok revenue. Everything she will transfer. She will tell them password or she dies. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. So sometimes you are going through these things. It doesn't matter. Don't quarrel. Don't talk like the children of Israel. And it's matter. The Bible says because of their murmuring, they died in the wilderness. They died. You don't murmur. Count it all joy. God cannot mismanage your life. Are you whining God? He cannot. This God that you are praising every day. See you. People are, you are seated there. See what he did with Peter. This small time. See what Peter had. The problem is that most Christians will have expectations. And many Christians who are doing this Christianity are not doing it with one heart. He said, if you seek me with the whole of your heart, not a part of your heart. You only find him when you seek him with the whole of your heart. If you have made up your mind to do this Christianity, do it very well. Do it like it's the only option you have, because it's the only option you have. And God has said it every time. I see some people posting it recently. You can put all your eggs in one basket. You think you've gone through enough? If you think you have gone through enough, you have not learned from this enough. Except you get the message from this enough, you will not see a miracle. As long as every time you wake up, you think you have gone through enough, you are not going to see the glory. Why do you think, who are you that you think you have gone through enough? What do you think God wants to do with your life? You think you have everything figured out? Then you now compare with other people and now get disappointed at God. Who are you comparing your life with? When he made you, did you make another person with you and say the same destiny? Imagine Joseph comparing his life with Samson. Because he had the Torah. He was reading the Torah. comparing his life with David. Comparing his life, even David did not have it easy. But imagine he was comparing his life with, let's say, King Saul. Ha, the guy was just playing. They just anointed him. He just became king. Ha, ha. How did he end? How did he end? David made mistake. How did he end? The training matters. Oh. See, if you go through the right training, even when you make mistake, you learn, you will bounce back differently. I know what I'm telling you. Look at how David bounced back. It was proof that that guy had a good training. He had a good upbringing. Immediately the prophet came and spoke. He lied down on the ground. He did not defend himself as a king. He started rolling on the ground. He started crying. And the Lord ended up by saying to us that David is a man after my own heart. He didn't defend himself before the prophet. He agreed. He repented. He accepted his fault. This is this. And that's why the Bible says, if you read the Bible carefully, I think David was one that said, he said, God loves a broken and a contrite spirit. He loves it. Not people who always want to defend themselves before God and the people he has put over their life as watchmen. God is helping you. God is trying to shape your life. Who were you before you even came around? And now you are proud? That's why people don't touch destiny. Because they are waiting for God to hold them by the hand and say, ah, let's go. You will never see that God. He will only do it through other people. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Go through the process. Your life is not the same without other person's life. How can you compare your life with somebody who is just existing, have children, have husband, doing birthdays, marking this thing? That is how you want to live your... That is the excitement of your life. You have to look for something better. I mean, if you imagine your husband winning souls with you, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Taking territories with you. I mean, making so much for God, money, make so much money for kingdom, so much impact on the earth. Imagine your children changing, shaping lives and changing. You can't just make any kind of choice. You have to wait on the Lord. You don't have eternity to fulfill destiny. I always used to say that. All this useless dating you are doing, if you understand destiny, you cannot waste your life like that. What is the meaning of, why are you in the relationship? I'm seeing whether it will work. Are you okay? Is your life a test ground? You are seeing whether it will work. Is that your husband? I'm not so sure, sir. I'm just wondering whether it will work. Is that your wife? And you talk like that. You don't understand purpose. Life for you is still child's play because you have not understood destiny. You've not understood purpose. The juice of life is the understanding of purpose. It makes life to make sense. As long as marriage is concerned, if you don't understand purpose, don't love anybody. Are you listening to me? Don't fall in love. Because it's when you understand purpose as a lady that you understand your place in a man's life. And you can start understanding purpose from this age that you are, whether 16 or 15, whether 28, or you can start at this point. Don't have people who have no clue of life direct your life. Believe God's word. Why is it that you read from the Bible, you hear the truth of God's word, and somebody else's advice is what you want to follow? Somebody else's advice. Why? Are you that cheap? You've seen it in the word of God, but you prefer somebody else's advice. Are you getting me tonight? If you have seen that these are things, how things should be done according to the word of God, do it. Don't wait for somebody else to come and be advising you. Blah, blah. Do it. They try to advise you against it. Negate them. Do the will of God. Listen, it is very difficult for me to talk about people's mistake on this podium. I know what it takes for me sometimes to cite people's example. I know what it takes for me. It takes ordinary boldness, because sometimes I have to say it because it is popular already on the internet. You know, one time I was talking, yesterday, I was on the internet and I saw people bashing a certain gospel artist, insulting him, and I got so super sad. Super sad. I said, look at how people are ridiculing the name of the Lord. People said some things he did, blah, 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 and for that reason they are insulting him everywhere. I said, this one does not even have somebody who pastors it. You don't have a place you sit down and learn the word. Why would those kind of rubbish not happen? Because other people are modeling ministry to you people. Before you know, you want to be independent as a singer. And because you don't have anything you are doing, you are charging people unnecessarily. You want to eat from the gospel. We are not saying the gospel will not give you food. But you want to eat from the... Abba. If we did like that, you all not be sitting here. If that's what we started with, you all will not sit here today. We will not be doing what we are doing as a church today. And that's why pastors are frowning. They think pastors are against them. A regular pastor will start a church. 10 years he's not receiving salary. 10 years he's not receiving salary. If he wants that church to grow, 10 years he's not receiving salary. He wants to see the real growth of that church. He's right according to scripture. He will not use it like Paul said. He doesn't want to hinder the gospel. But somebody who grows out from his assembly as a singer is demanding 3 million from another church. That's why the pastors are saying no. You don't do things like that. Are there pastors who have grown to a point that they are enjoying the blessings of the Lord so obviously in terms of material stuff? Yes. Did they labor before they get there? Yes. How about you? What did you labor to do? That you wouldn't go for what they have to offer. Are you listening to me? These characters we are seeing are a product of no pastoring or bad pastoring. No pastoring or what? Bad pastoring. You are coming to church before you know you want to start doing something independent. You are in the choir. You feel like you are in this. You want to do something independent. And they are talking to you. You think because you have seen people around you who are like that. You think it's an excuse for you to be like that. Where are they ending? Where are you going to end? Where are their destination? Where is your own destiny? Where are you going to with that kind of life? Where has it landed them? And when you think popularity is success, where has that popularity landed some people? Have you not seen people that crash all of a sudden? God will never allow me to come to that point where I'll tell you people some kind of things that I know about this country. I will never come to that point. All I will do is to be advising you people like this. All I will do. Am I claiming to be perfect because of God made? I was given birth to like that? No. Outside God, I've said it several times. I am nothing. And that's why I am always anchoring my life or anchored on the Word. I did a post. Was it last night or this morning? I said the most important thing ought to be sound doctrine. It has to be sound doctrine, because without sound doctrine, we'll not have the right people. A lot of people are frustrated trying to do the right stuff, and they end up being more frustrated and now accept their fallen nature because they've tried to live for God and they couldn't. Why? Wrong doctrines. Wrong doctrines. So I said preachers and churches will invest more in sound doctrines than any other thing in this life. Are you listening to me tonight, everyone? Learn to listen. If you heard my beginning, you'll be understanding the end now. Like I said about Kenneth Hagin. Learn to listen. You know, there's this stupid analogy sometimes I see young ministers give. Say, follow us so that the day we now get to glory, you will now not be saying you know us. Those things are stupidity. They are rubbish. Which one is the day we get to glory? Blah, blah, blah. All those things are junks. We are not wondering if we will sweep the whole world. We know. That will be in every part of the world preaching the gospel. That's certainty. That's definitely going to happen. And we're not saying that is glory. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? In terms of, the material side of this effect is glory. That's not what we're saying. The real glory is that we are all preaching the gospel in every part of the world, affecting lives. And it is painful when you don't touch that glory, when you don't touch that destiny. It's painful. It's not that I'm richer now and you are not here to spend my money with me. I mean, what's that? I already know I'll be very rich. In fact, I already know I'm very rich. I'm not trying to be rich. I'm manifesting the riches that I already have. That's why I boldly dare the impossible. If I see big deals, I shook my hand because I know I deserve it. Because I know I'm rich. Because I know I'm blessed. If I see big opportunities, I ask questions about it. Because I know I deserve that money. If you are doing something big, I'll ask, how do I get to be part of this? Because I know I'm supposed to be part of this because I deserve that kind of amount. That's why I don't apply small jobs. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's why I ask certain questions. Don't be familiar. Whatever you are doing here, take it. You know, we've had people who left here, and we're not trying. God bless them wherever they are. But focus. You didn't cross, our path didn't cross each other coincidentally. And you who are here, be careful. Sometimes we can learn from wrong models, not right models. Sometimes our faith and our conviction can be altered because of wrong models in the society. Maybe you are seated there, you now see somebody misbehaving. You are not saying to him that I want to be like you, but suddenly you observe that the person is boosting your confidence for misbehavior. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? That act you have seen is now boosting your confidence for misbehavior. Before you know, that's why you have to watch yourself. Paul says, always check yourself to see that you are within the faith. Check yourself. See, there are no two ways about it. If you have a friend that misbehaves in church, you will start misbehaving in church. It's a matter of time. You either, there are two options, two things involved. You either run away from that friend or you report the friend to be corrected. That's proof you love that friend. But if you are quiet and just saying, well, it's not my business, I'm just there, I'm not part of it, you definitely become what? Part of it. Are you all listening to me tonight? I've heard a lot of things. I want to end now. I've heard a lot of terrible things. I know a lot of terrible things. I mean, I'm not trying to say this in boastfulness. I know a lot of terrible things with even popular people. And I remember I was being asked one time by somebody who was reporting a case to me. A popular person, and the evidences and everything were there. He says, sir, what am I supposed to do in this kind of case? My faith is shattered. I don't think I'd even, you know, the Lord has just been pushing me to call you. My faith is shattered, blah, blah, blah. What am I supposed to do in this kind of situation? And the Lord gave me the first scripture I showed you. I want to end. That's Joel 7. From verse what? Let's read together as we pray. We're going to read it together. It said, they run like mighty men. Is it this? Okay, yeah. They run like mighty men. Talking about the end time army, right? Can we see from verse 6? If it paints a better picture. Well, we all know we're talking about the end time army. So one of the attributes, verse 7, it says, they run like what? They climb the wall like what? Everyone marches in his word. And they do not break their, and what did I call that word in Greek? Can you remember? Huh? Okra, right? And I said, what does it mean? What the first word you call? Banner. Uh-huh. Part. What? Race. It talks about maintaining a standard. I haven't said manner. I think it's manner I said. Yeah. Maintaining his standard. He said they will not break their ranks. Meaning if they are lieutenant colonel, they will never be captains. They will always be lieutenant colonels. They don't break their ranks. Meaning there will be no day you will hear that they fell a prey to the devil. They are back to the gutters. Listen to me carefully. Satan is fighting the church. He's creeping in. He wants people who were once leaders to be in the gutters. He says strike the shepherd and the sheep will be what? Scattered. Are you listening to me tonight? He wants to destroy this end time agenda of God. I'm seeing it every day. I'm hearing it every day. And I cry more for young ministers. They want to be like these guys who are up there. They don't believe so much in the power of scriptures. They don't believe so much in what God has said concerning ministry according to the Bible. You think it's everybody you see the way they are, that they are? You say it like that? You think what you see about people out there is all that it is out there? A lot of people are just acting. It's just camouflage. Your confidence should be in the scriptures. Your confidence should be in what God has said in the Bible. Not what you are seeing out there. Believe God so much to know that anybody not following his principles is not enjoying his result. Even if it seems so. Even if it looks so physically. Say the guy part of the kingdom? No. Well, he's not enjoying peace. And even if he's rich. You say, is he rich? Well. Is he a believer? No. Well, he has limited peace. You say, why are you sure? Look at somebody. Look at how he's happy. Say, you don't understand. That peace only comes by Jesus. I am certain he doesn't have all the peace he needs. We're not trying to talk bad about them, but this is fact of life. He said, I don't give peace just like the world gives peace. The blessing of the Lord, the Bible says, it makes rich and add no. Believe God so much. Sometimes when I hear these stories, I'm like, I think people don't stay with the Bible very well. That's why they get disappointed. I was encouraging somebody lately. I said, your faith is not in any man. This is somebody I know to be on fire. Who have planted more than 3 churches. I said, your faith is not on any man. Your faith is in God. I told him, I said, listen, I've been in a situation like this. You may not understand. And I don't want to go so deep so that you don't figure it out. I've been in a situation like this where somebody I'm looking up to, what I saw, I broke down where I was and I started crying. I've never shared this story to this point. Of course, you won't figure it out. But I've made up my mind to keep it to myself and nobody will look, will ever have a clue. Not my spiritual father, for the records. But someone I looked up to. When I saw these things, I broke down wherever I saw it. I started crying and crying. And before morning, I ran away from that presence. But I told myself, nobody will know that yet. But for me, I've washed my hands and I'll never have anything to do here again. Now I was backstabbed by the same individual. I was called names. They said all wrong stuff. I still have not said the story. And I will still not say it. Hallelujah to Jesus. But the good news is this. My faith is rooted in Christ Jesus. Not on sinking sand. Any other ideology is mere sinking sand. Motivations, sinking sand. I'm overwhelmed by the mistake. Is it overwhelmed or tired of speaking about the mistake? It's sad. It's not a good thing to come and you are talking about mistakes of churches and ministers. It's not nice. We're not making progress. Doesn't make me better because people are making mistakes. It's sad to me because we know the right step to take to avoid these things. But even you guys sit here, some of you, your eyes are rubies, shiny stuff. That's why I told myself, you observed me over the years. I don't stress myself when I want to teach you the word. Sometimes I sit down, you got to listen. I'm not ready to shout. Listen to me, understand the word. I can boast that by God's grace, I've wronged strong Christians over the years. We're not excited. I think last night again, I was seeing a video somewhere that a young pastor in one of these countries, that they performed Beyond song on their Easter Sunday. Easter Eve or something. Beyond, one of her songs that has to do with demonism, you know, with the witchery activities. You know, that's what she practices now. African magic or whatsoever. That's her practice now. According to her, she's not a Christian. Now, they performed that same song in the church. Meaning they looked at all the songs and they were boring. That's my problem with this thing about getting out of boredom in the church that people are trying to bring today. That we are singing songs because Christian songs are seeming boring to us. Okay, Bible should be boring. Is Bible song? When you read the Bible, are they playing music in your ear? It should be boring then. Did God use rap to write the Bible? Did God use Afro to write the book of Psalms? When you want to read the book of Psalms, you start hearing ka, 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 ka. Do you start hearing that? Our own is boredom, it's boring, it's boring. And all we have to show for new creation reality is bored. Yes, two sides, they've scattered it. Even for men, nose rings, waist rings, legs ring, dyed hair. Plated hair. That's all we have to show to a generation that rots the power of God. The power of God was rotted through them. I'm talking about a generation that will say, come back to life. That's all we have to show them. And you think they will respect us? One thing One thing I'm sure of, that this generation is not doing is prayer. They are not praying. And for some that you think are praying, it shows it's not prayer. Vain competition. No satisfaction in yourself. You can't pray and know that you prayed. You want people to affirm that you are a prayer warrior. The glories of men. You want to look like a prayer warrior. There must be a posture you will take. Let people know you are a prayer warrior. You can't pray and know that you and God should just affirm that you have prayed. And you are okay. That the confidence you have that when you pray, is that He answers you. And go your way. You can't worship God effectively alone. You can't sit and listen to instructions. There is no Christianity without following instructions. It is not possible. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are. Listen, I submit to you, all of you seated here. If you go back home from today and make sure that you follow your algorithm for consecration very well, you will find out that in less than 2 months, your Christianity will skyrocket to a different level. What I mean is that if you claim you are praying, pray well. Pray with the whole of your heart. Are you people listening to me tonight? Bow your heads and pray. Lock your phone off them. If you want to pray that 1 hour, pray it. Don't leave your house any day without praying at least an hour. Without hearing the Holy Spirit. Without the consciousness of angels around. Try it and see. You neglect these things that are your advantage and you want to be you want to be favored out there. How? Do you know angels can help you to market your things? Do you know the best digital marketing is through angels? The best way of marketing is not even digital marketing. That's what I'm trying to say. It's through angels. Check the Bible. Angels can market your source. Things people call coincidence is prophetic. Confess it. They'll call it, I just felt like, and now I'm here. They just felt like. It will be happening every day in your business if you learn to pray. Are you listening to me tonight? Make God number one. Even in your academies, when you pray and pray, when you study and study and you have been staying with God, He will help you to see something. I know what I'm telling you. Because He has done it for me countless times. Are you listening to me tonight? Have you been blessed thus far? Don't break your ranks. That's the prophecy of the end time army. Because if you break your ranks, there are consequences. You will lead a generation astray. Pastor Simon, why have you not made mistake? It's not because I'm pessimistic. It's because I stay with the word. I fear myself that I stay with the word of God every day. That's how much I have lost trust, faith in my human nature. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That every morning if I don't pray, I'm so scared for my life. I have to stay with the word of God. That's my confidence. Is it because you have discipline? Keep that one in the corner. Is it not when you know God that you'll be disciplined? Some people that claim to be disciplined, I always used to laugh. Say, I'm disciplined, I made first class, but you are sleeping with girls everywhere. That's not discipline. Discipline, the real discipline is spiritual, not physical. It's in the spiritual. Are you listening to me tonight? Are you listening to me? You have enough information. I'm not trying to give you one unique information. Go back home. Firstly, I started by making you understand. Don't joke with what you are hearing here. These are not carnally devised fables. I am Prophet Simon Thomas. The Lord called me for this generation. Are you listening to me tonight? When you go back home, listen to these things. From the leadership, from the pastors to everyone, cell leaders, fellowship head leaders, go and listen. In fact, you people that are the leaders should listen more. You've been in church for 3 years. Jesus said that to His disciples. You couldn't heal an epileptic man for 3 years. How long do you think I'll be with you? Am I always with you everywhere? Are you listening to me? Go back home. Make up your mind. Act maturely. Get into the realm of the Hughes. Mature sons of God. Nobody should be controlling you anyhow. Don't be tossed to and fro by situations and corniness of human beings, human natures. Have a mind of your own. Make the right decision. That is why I'm your pastor today. I made up my mind that I'll do what God wants me to do. Are you listening to me tonight? Bow your heads and pray. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the issues of life. Pray and say, Lord, guard my heart from henceforth. Guide my heart. Help me to be conscious of the issues of life. Let no wrong thing come out from my heart. Only the right things. 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 No evil thing will come out from my heart. No wrong decisions. I only act rightly, never wrongly. My destiny matters. Fulfilling my destiny matters to me. Go ahead. Go ahead. Help me know you are always with me. Help me know you are near. Help me know you are always in me. Help me to be always conscious of your presence. Help me to be always conscious of your presence, because your presence is my advantage. Your presence is my advantage. Your presence is all I have. There is nothing that I have that is more than your presence. You're all I have. You're all I ever needed. You're all I have. Help me know you and me.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.